couple weeks ago when Mark and I were in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, we just wandered into a hotel that was across from an art institute, and I realized all of a sudden I was in this old hotel that somebody had told me about a year ago, saying, this is where you should teach your class. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is the place. I can't believe we just wandered into it. And so we went over to the art show after that. And normally when somebody, I meet people, unless it comes up, I never say who I am or what I do. I don't say I'm a spiritual being. I don't say anything about Harmony Fellowship. I don't say I'm a minister, because I know those are very, like, kind of emotional, can be explosive things, you know. So I handle it with care and avoid it altogether. So anyway, I did what, because we saw this place and I talked to them about possibly doing the class down there next year, I was kind of in that mindset. So as soon as we walked in, one of the first people we meet is a woman, and she, you know, I said, oh, I just looked at this wonderful space and thought about having a seminar down here. And she said, well, what would it be about? So I told her it's about you and God connecting the dots. And she said, oh, well, you know, I used to believe in all that stuff. But I was in Cabo San Lucas. I lived there, and everything I owned was completely wiped out. It was just wiped out. She goes, and then I finally had to realize that Satan was behind everything. And I'm like, oh. And she said, unless we believe and give Satan credit, Satan will work against us. And that was my first Satan worshiper I'd ever met. And I'm really hoping it's my last. I found myself backing away. She said, no, you must accept Satan. And I was like, oh my gosh. Then you have to accept Jesus, I thought. You know, no, you have to accept Satan. And it was like, are you sure you're not thinking of Santa Claus? Okay, I can do Santa. But Satan is not going to work for me. And so she said, I said, well, I don't believe in that story. And she said, well, in order to believe in God, you have to believe in Satan. And I said, well, then I don't believe in the same God you do. And so she yelled after me, there's only one God. And I just kept moving. But it was interesting how people can have a belief, and because they believe it, they need you to believe it, right? So another thing we were able to do there when we would return to our casita is watch some movies that the owner of the place had sitting there. So she had The Theory of Everything about Stephen Hawking. And there, did anybody see that movie? Okay. And it was very interesting, very good. But it was also interesting to see how important it was for his wife, who was a Christian, to get him to a point of acknowledging that there is a God. Okay. And it's also interesting that just the general public wants to know, do you believe in God? In other words, we sent you out there as our scout in your mind with all your formulas, and did you discover God when you were there? It's really important that we know that somebody as intelligent as you acknowledges God and can tell us that we're on the right track. I thought that was so interesting. And I was watching a show yesterday about Edison, and because he had invented so many wonderful things that made our life great, he had over 1,000 patents. He didn't actually do all of them. He kind of bought a lot of different ideas from other people and had things patented. But because of him, we have lights in the washing machine and movie films and all kinds of things going on. But people would, because he did that, because he was an inventor, they wanted to know if he believed in God. And they asked him about everything. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So it's very interesting that it had nothing to do with what he was doing with his life, but they wanted to know how he felt about that. So I started thinking, well, what is that about? We put certain people on pedestals, and then we want to know how do they feel about that. As if you are in your head intelligent, then you must know better than everybody else, better than I know about whether or not I have an experience of God or the presence or love or beauty or whatever, the goddess, whatever you want to call it. you must know better than I do. You must be a better authority on it than I am. Or if you don't say that you found it, then there's something wrong with you. So this outer confirmation that there is something more than meets the eye here seems to be very important to people. And we may say, oh, that's not really true. But if a cartoonist draws something about Muhammad, somebody might decide you can't live anymore. There's been a tremendous amount of bloodshed over and in the name of God. So it certainly does seem to be an important topic that everybody wants others to agree with. We certainly have families that it's caused a lot of disruptions, right, about it. So what if instead all of us took the approach that no matter what anybody else believes, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It's all right. It's all right. It's all good. It's all exactly where it needs to be. No matter what they believe, what their belief is doesn't affect my own discovery, doesn't validate what I believe. Maybe when somebody's saying, I don't believe in God, or I'm an atheist, what they're saying is, I don't believe in those stories and that definition that you believe in. Buckminster Fuller, which was known more as Bucky Fuller because his name was so long, is an architect who you are very aware of if you live in St. Louis, because he created the geodesic dome, which is our climatron. But he didn't do that. He influenced that, okay? Born in the late 1800s, definitely a creative mind. He suggested that God not be considered a noun and that it should be a verb. That God isn't a personality, but God is action. God is being instead. So after we watched the movie, and Stephen Hawking, who's still alive, is saying, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I said, it doesn't matter if he believes in God. It doesn't matter at all. Because the man lives authentically. He uses every ounce of what he's got to do what it is he loves to do. And he is completely authentic. And if God is a verb, he is being that. And that's why we talk about being authentic being so important, and doing what you love and expressing who you are being the most important thing that you can do, because that's where your super intelligence is, that's where your super talent is, that's the gift that you're bringing into here. And you're expressing that, whatever it is that's coming through you. Now, when the personality thinks it is it, that is a little confusing. Because if you take Stephen Hawking and you imagine him being born in the 1800s, before the technology that we have today that allows him to move and communicate with people, it would all have been locked inside. But the timing was such that he could come in and share his information and express fully who he was. So I think if we all looked at that as our own life, as instead of talking so much about God being a personality, instead, who am I being here? Is it in alignment with who I am? Does it make sense? And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And perhaps the only reason why some people don't have the same experiences we do, like he also does not believe, and Edison did not believe, and even Mark Twain did not believe, that there was something that you could communicate with. But I certainly don't find that in my own life. I find in my own life that the communication began when I started talking to it, whatever it is, the creative energy. And as a small child, I called it God, and I still feel comfortable with that, but I totally understand others may not. I think unless you start the conversation, you won't really get anything back. All the coincidences and all the synchronicities and all the things falling in place, all the guidance that I receive, all the moments I receive, I feel are inspired and can't be argued with. There could not possibly be that many coincidences happening at exact time that they happen. I remember when I was studying to become a divine science minister, and I like divine science because they really think science is a big part of it. Same way with science of mind. They believe that you should be able to find whatever they're talking about in your own life. You should be able to test it. And if it's not there, don't believe it. I like that approach. I really like that. Because if you say that there's a law of cause and effect, if you say there's a law of identity, if you say there's a law of whatever, relativity, if you say there's the law of gravity, I should be able to find it. We all believe in the law of gravity. We have all jumped. We've all fallen. And none of us float up. So we're all in agreement with that. Okay. Same thing. We should be able to test everything exactly in the same way. We should be able to say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to try this, or I did do this, and now this makes a lot of sense why it's in my life right now. I like that a whole lot. I remember, and I shared this with some of you before, that when I was studying to become a divine science minister, and they were talking about how you should be able to find this, and they were talking about how everything was God, every cell, every atom, every particle was God, and that with the most wonderful microscopes, you would not be able to tell where one thing ended, and you wouldn't be able to tell my hand from this microphone. It would just all be moving energy. And they were talking about because it's moving energy, it means nothing's static and everything can change. And so I was like thinking, you know, this is really great, but it's in this book that they produced. I would love to sit across from a scientist and say, is that true? And not bring up divine science at all, but just, you know. So the very next night I go to a birthday party at a restaurant in Webster. I don't know anybody there because I'm the guest of the person I'm coming with. And there we're talking and what do you do and this, what do you do, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I realize these guys who are magicians, that two of them are scientists, that that's what they do. I said, I've always wanted to ask a question because they knew I was a minister. My friend had told them that. You know, what happens when you look under a high-powered microscope at this salt and pepper shaker and this table, etc.? He said, you can't see it. It's all just moving energy. I said, oh. And right away he said, but that doesn't mean there's God. And I thought, no, that doesn't mean that there's God. Here's what tells me there's something communicating with me. Just yesterday I'm saying, I would love to sit across from a scientist and ask this, and there you are. But I didn't say that to him. That was my internal dialogue, because I knew he wanted to stay right where he was. I didn't need him to get it. But boy, was that powerful. I could say I would love to, and then it happens. So then I began to understand the conversation better for me was to use the word love. I would love seemed to be a language that whatever I was speaking to could respond to. I would love this. Not like. And for those of you who know, we've talked about this before, if you would say, I would like to go someplace. Do you know, it's like, okay, I just threw some words out, they landed, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as you say, I would love, it's like your whole chest opens up, your whole body opens up to the idea of something. It's really interesting. Because everything in our body also responds to our words and emotions and our thoughts all the time. It's like all the strands of DNA expand and contract. So, if Stephen Hawking isn't worried about emotions, if he's not studying them, if he's only studying one aspect, then he's going to get one answer. Does it matter one bit, one atom, one particle, whether he believes in God? Does it matter if anybody believes in God? It just depends on what experience you want to have. I think what really matters to the quality of our lives is that we express fully who we are. And that's it. We have done it. And it's not the quantity of years. It's just, if we want to feel real, if we want to be and feel that beingness here, we discover what it is we love and who we love to be around and what we like to do, and we just do that. And we do more of that. And we understand that there's nothing wrong with the other things that are going on. As a matter of fact, all the other things that were going on were wonderful contrast to get us over what we did love. I've been so blessed that I followed my heart so many times that when I was even teaching swimming, I loved teaching swimming to people that were afraid of water. It was wonderful. And I was only 16 years old. But then when I was in my 20s and became a flight attendant, because I thought that's what you should be, I hated it. Hated it. Uniform, time frame, nails polish, extra pair of hose. Real important stuff. Can't go overweight. Can't be pregnant. Doesn't look good. That was back in my day. Got out of that. Went into working at a frame shop. Framing artwork. Seemed right. I like art. Okay. I forgot. I don't like sharp things. Mat cutters and glass. Not a good thing for me. I hated it. I was so out of my element. But being out of your element is a wonderful thing. And then I was in retailing and I enjoyed working in retailing, except I was exhausted all the time. And then finally somebody invited me to come and start teaching travel. Which was really crazy because I was a flight attendant only. But anyway, I started teaching travel, and I found I really liked teaching. Really liked it, enjoyed it. And from there, I went and decided I liked interior design, and I went to design school, and I did interior design. I got to do many things, but I could tell, like, when it was time for one thing to end and another chapter to begin. It's been a wonderful ride. I really like it. It's great. And I know that all of you have found that in your own life. But it's in finding what you don't like that you find what you do like. And nothing bad is going on. It's all right. And that's what this talk is about. Nothing bad is going on. What if you're like beating up on yourself? And what if you just say, hey, you know what? It's all right. For who and what I know right now, this makes sense. For this is all going to unfold. And I'm going to use this someday. I'm going to need it. I'm going to talk about how I didn't like working at a frame shop. I'm going to discover that I don't like cooking because it also involves sharp objects and glass. I'm probably the only person who put a Pyrex in the oven and it exploded, okay? It's weird. You know, it's like, no, be with somebody who likes to cook. Go out to restaurants. That's what they're there for. Share in the economy, you know? So today, that's what today's talk is about. It's just like, how about we just be comfortable with being in the world, being who we are in the world, just being with the world as it is right now, knowing that it is always changing, that everything is fluid, that it has changed so much. We went to see Guess Who's Coming to Dinner the other day, which I think came out in the 60s. Man, that was so eye-opening. Because the character who plays her father, who was Spencer Tracy at the time, it seemed like he was out of line, that he was opposed to it. But he was saying, this is going to be so hard for you people to be married to each other. I'm afraid you're going to be clubbed over the head. But something like that reminds you, as he says, this isn't even legal in a lot of states for you to get married. It really takes you back to how things used to be. It wasn't even legal. It wasn't even safe to make eye contact. And how much our world has changed on so many levels, not just about that. Things are changing. It's all right. There's a group of people, a group of souls, it seems like, that came in right now that are really shaking things up. The movers and shakers have arrived. And it's still happening. And some people are so, like, upset that it's not already there. But what if we just say it's all right? That we're part of it. That it doesn't matter what everybody else does or thinks, but instead what we do individually, who we are and how we will be in this world. And stop going to others and saying, please tell me about God. Tell me what I should believe. Instead, just be. Einstein said that imagination is more important than intelligence. What we can dream and what we can see in our mind's eye is way more important than working it all out in our brain. From the very time we came in here, we were little, and they start reading stories to us, we connect it with the imaginer. We still love stories. We are dreamers. And we shouldn't defend it. We should just allow it and let it be. What would you do if you had a magic kit? What if you do have one? Thank you.